We're in the book of Colossians and chapter 4, and starting from verse 2, it says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I'm in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. There's a fair bit in that, but I just want to put it into some context. So we've been working through the book of Colossians, and the first part of the book talks about the supremacy of who Jesus is, and focuses on his lordship over everything. The fact that everything was made for him, and everything was made through him, and that he is the goal of all of creation. That the reason we're here is to glorify Jesus. And Paul then goes on talking to the Colossians about a variety of things, and he comes to a section where he talks about rules for Christian households. And we talked about that and how we kind of, looking at marriages and relationships between children and their parents and slaves and their masters, and we realize that they're not things that are easy to do in our own strength. But Paul wasn't saying to the Colossians that they ought to do them in their own strength. If we go back to verse 15 of chapter 3, you'll remember that he said to them, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So this idea of letting the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, that is, understanding that Jesus has made peace between us and God. We were hostile before, and he's come and made peace. And he's not only made peace with us and God, he's made peace amongst ourselves, between one another. So as he says, there's no longer any Jew or Greek, circumcised or uncircumcised. There's no longer any barbarian, Scythian, slave or free. Elsewhere he says male or female. We're all one in Christ, and we've been brought into this place of peace because of what Jesus has done, and together we're all seated with him in heavenly places at the right hand of the Father, that we all have this position of privilege and honour, not because of anything we've done, but because of what he's done. And that as Christians, we're to let that that peace rule in our hearts. And what that will do is bring about an attitude of thankfulness, because we know that it's not what we've done, but it's what he's done, and because of who he is that we have that position. And we're to let the message of Christ dwell amongst us richly. Understanding who Jesus is and what he's come to do is really the goal of our sort of Christian walk, that we want to come to know him more fully. Paul says elsewhere that, I want to know Christ and him crucified and the power of his resurrection. It's about understanding the message of Christ and letting that dwell in amongst us richly, and to encourage one another and spur one another on towards that. And we do that with gratitude in our hearts, because the more we understand who Jesus is and what he's accomplished, the more thankful we become, because we realize more and more that it's because of what he's done, not because of what we've done. And so we find ourselves then, whatever we do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father. So again, understanding who Jesus is, what he's come to do, the fact that he's restored us leads to thankfulness. So we go out and we live our lives in a way that hopefully brings delight to his heart, and we do that as an expression of thanks for who he is. And we notice that all of this stuff comes out of relationship with him. It's not things that we do separately. We can't sort of go and, you know, it says, husbands, love your wives, wives, submit to your husbands. That doesn't happen naturally or easily. As I said, if we try to do it in our own strength, we end up fighting against ourselves because our flesh wants what we want. It doesn't want what God wants. And we make life hard for ourselves. But when we let the rule of Christ come and take up residence in our heart, then these things begin to happen because of who he is, not because we're doing the right thing. So it's not our subscription to a code of behavior that brings about the change in our lives. Okay? The change in our lives comes about because of who Jesus is, and as we focus on him, as we realize who he is and what he's done, and that thankfulness begins to well up in us, then we find that we're turned into people that are more like him. Because if we try and do it in our own strength, we can maintain it for a little while, but eventually we're going to give up. And then we're going to feel bad about the fact we couldn't do it. And, you know, and then we'll go away and try and forget about it. But eventually we'll be stirred up again and we'll try and make another go of it. But we just end up on this sort of endless cycle. And Paul's saying, no, we've got to get off of that. We want to let Christ dwell. We want to have him live in our lives. We want to encourage one another to do that because that's where the change happens. And so now he says, look, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. You can see this expression, thankfulness, is coming up again. And when he encourages us to devote ourselves to prayer, it's not something that we have to make ourselves do. Many years ago, I went to the Change the World School of Prayer. Anyone done that course? And it's you get a map of the world and you pray for a certain number of countries every day, and they encourage you to get up early in the morning and spend an hour in prayer and sort of collect all these resources. And that's good. I'm not saying it's not a good thing. But if we try to do it in our own strength, we're going to fail at it, okay? Paul's saying, no, as we let who Jesus is take up residence in our lives, we're going to find that prayer is going to become part of our lives. And that watchfulness and that thankfulness is going to flow out of who he is as he begins to change our lives. Because prayer flows out of that relationship. It's not like we're trying to appease God or earn his favor. That's religion. But Paul's been saying, no, this has changed. We're in relationship now. And so our prayer is a communion with God, a listening to him and understanding. There was a fellow called Thomas Keller who was a Quaker. Now the Quakers, going back sort of 100 years or so, were a denomination. They're still around the place. But really, they were kind of one of the first groups to be renewed in the Holy Spirit. They would often their services would involve them sitting in silence and waiting for the Spirit to move, and then people would share a word as the Spirit sort of provoked them or inspired them. And so they were very sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading, and they also lived very simple lives. You may have heard of Quaker Oats. Yeah, that's all you know about the Quakers, yeah, okay. Yeah, but they live very simple lives, and they also subscribe to some dietary sort of stuff. They tried to keep their diets very simple and so on, a bit like the Seventh-day Adventists do now. They sort of, because our body's a temple of the Holy Spirit, that, you know, so they believe that that was important. Anyway, so the Quakers really developed a sense of spirituality, and this is what Thomas Keller said in his book, the Testament of Devotion. He said, there's a way of ordering our mental life on more than one level at once. On one level, we can be thinking, discussing, seeing, calculating, meeting all the demands of external affairs, but deep within, behind the scenes, at a profounder level, we may also be in prayer and adoration, song and worship, and a gentle receptiveness to divine breathings. Now, what he's trying to say is that life is busy and there's a lot of stuff going on. And he said we can operate at that level, but at the same time, we can be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is saying and doing. that we can keep our spiritual eyes and ears tuned to him, that this devotion to prayer can be actually part of our lifestyle. It doesn't mean that we're constantly asking God's stuff and so on. I was reading one commentator and he said, we're not required to be continually speaking to God out loud and, asking him for stuff and so on. He said there's places for people like that and they lock the doors on the outside. Is that, anyway, that's just a... We're called to engage in life, How are husbands going to love their wives and children obey their parents and fathers be gentle with their children and slaves and masters? There's busyness in life. And Paul says at the same time, and devote yourselves to prayer. Because there's another level where we can be sensitive to the Holy Spirit as we go about the busyness of life, just to be constantly listening, constantly tuned in to who he is. When you read through the scriptures and see the times when God really spoke to people, they were often just about their own business. Moses was tending his sheep when the burning bush thing happened. Now, okay, God had to get his attention a bit louder, maybe because he tried to get his attention other ways. I don't know what was with that. But we often see that God will interrupt our lives with just a still small voice while stuff is happening. If we're sensitive to him and open to him, that he'll give us insight and understanding to things. Brother Lawrence, who is a guy you may have heard of, he wrote a book called Practicing the Presence of God. He said, "The time of busyness does not differ with me from the time of prayer. And in the noise and clatter of my kitchen, while several persons are at the same time calling for different things, I possess God in as great tranquility as if I were on my knees." So this idea of devoting ourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, is something that Paul's talking about. It flows out of letting the peace of Christ dwell in our hearts and the message of Christ rule in our lives. And whatever if we're going to do whatever we do in the name of Jesus, being thankful to the Father, then the only way we can do that is by being sensitive to him as we do those things. So there's an encouragement to allow Jesus to speak to us and minister to us in our lives on a day-to-day basis. And there is time for formal prayer. There is time for devotions. There's time for corporate prayer and all that sort of thing. And there are many different forms and styles of prayer. You notice that when people ask Jesus about prayer, he was often quite... He wasn't very specific about prayer. He was quite vague. Yeah, because it's meant to grow out of our relationship with him, okay? And the way that I, relate to my wife or my kids or my siblings or, or people in the street or people at work, there are different relationships, and each relationship requires a different sort of way of being, if you like. There's, I talk to some people one way and other people another way and so on. And that's just a reflection of our relationship. And we're all individuals, we're all different people, but we all relate to God. But we'll all relate to him in different ways. So there are different expressions of prayer, different expressions of communing with him. So Paul says, and while you're praying, pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I'm in chains, and pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. See, for Paul, one of the key goals of prayer is to open a door for the word. Notice he didn't say that God would open a door for me to go and share the word. He's saying, no, I want a door to be opened for the message or for the word of God to be proclaimed clearly, that it would be proclaimed in a way that reveals the mystery of God so that it can be understood by the hearer. Because when we're sharing Christ with others, it's not our words that actually bring about the change. It's God that brings the change. And this is why prayer is important. Because if we're wanting people to come to know him, he's the one that's got to go before us to open the door so that the word of God, Jesus, can be received and come and take up residence in their hearts, just like he did for us. Because the peace of Christ and the message of Christ comes to people supernaturally. The Holy Spirit has to open up the door to allow that message to be received. And then he says, and you're to do the same. He says, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity, and let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. And one of the translations, I think it's the King James, says, instead of saying make the most of every opportunity, it says redeeming the time. Purchasing back the time, winning back the time for Christ. It's a lovely picture. But what he's really saying is that, look, okay, as Christians, the peace of Christ is within you now. You're at peace with God. You're at peace with one another. There's no longer these dividing walls of hostility. And that's a, you know, that's a thing to be thankful for. So how much more should we want the peace of Christ to be reigning in other people's lives because it's made such a change in ours? And the message of Christ is dwelling in us richly. That is, we're understanding more and more every day what are the things that bring delight to his heart and how can we better live out our lives as an expression of who he is. And so this message has come to us and it's changing us. And as we see the great delight and the joy in the message of the gospel, then we want that. We want other people to come and understand that too, that there are ways of living that are going to bring life and blessing, not only for yourself, but for others around you, and that are also going to bring delight to God's heart because it's an expression of who Jesus is. So as we do these things, as we do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, then we want to be wise in the way that we act towards outsiders, the way we speak towards outsiders, those that are outside of the kingdom, outside of the gospel, so that they too can know the peace, so that they too can understand the message of Christ. So we pray that God would go before us and open doors for the word to, or the message to take root in their hearts. And we also, because God works the way that he does, he works supernaturally, but he also works naturally. Because the natural world is actually his creation. It's not like it's separate from who he is. Carefully how I say that. The creation is an expression of his nature and his character. Okay, so the natural world we live in is actually an expression of who God is and the things that bring delight to his heart. And so is the supernatural stuff. And so Paul's saying, when you're praying about sharing the gospel, when you're praying about how you're going to act towards outsiders, you want to be wise, okay? And you want to be salty in the sense that you want your words to be something that people will savour and think about and ponder on. And where do we get that from? That comes from us as individuals actually taking time to think through the implications of the gospel. Because the gospel's not something that we sort of, you know, pray a prayer and we're good now, we're in God's good books, and so we can get on with our life and just forget about it, turn up to church occasionally and, you know, and it's all going to be fine. The gospel's something that actually invites us to participate in. It's something that God invites us to grow in and develop in. So that's why he says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts in thankfulness, and let the message of Christ rule amongst you, and encourage one another in that message, because it's something that actually, you know, if it's real to us, we're going to want to take more of a hold of it, okay? And so when we read the Bible, when we talk about sort of issues with other believers, you know, when we engage with these things, it helps to deepen our understanding so that our words can be seasoned with salt when we talk to outsiders, so that we can be wise in the way that we go about things, in a way that we wouldn't otherwise be able to do so. And it's about, you know, listening to what outsiders, if I can, I'll use Paul's term, listening to outsiders so that we can understand the way they think. Sometimes we're all too eager to jump in with the gospel and we cut across, you know, it's that thing, we pretend we're listening but we're actually just waiting for the other person to be quiet so that we can say what we want to say, you know. That's not what Paul's talking about. He's saying, you know, listen to what people are saying and think about what they're saying and pray about ways to respond to those objections they might have or excuses or whatever, so that when the door is open for the word, that your words are going to come with wisdom and with salt. And they're going to be things that they can not only grab hold of spiritually, but they can also say, yeah, this actually is something really worth pondering on and thinking on, because it is. Because in the process, we actually answer our own questions a lot of the time. You know, we come to Christ in faith. We come to him because something stirs within us and we take hold of it, but we really don't understand it at the time. As we go on, we begin to understand more and more. But it doesn't mean that it does away with the questions that we might have because of our worldview. Okay, and there's things that we might wonder about with God. You know, why did you do this, God? What's that about? And how come this? They're all questions that we're invited in to actually engage with God and seek him out. Because what I found is, as I press in with God on all of those issues, the things that I'm not sure about, he actually begins to reveal the answers. And when you see the answers, they're actually quite beautiful, quite intriguing, and really help us to have a greater understanding of who he is and just the fullness of his nature and his character. And it's an amazing thing. You know, this is the sort of, Paul's about to get into his final salutations to close up his letter, but he finishes with this because really it's an invitation for us as Christians to engage in the gospel. It's an invitation for us to engage in the message and not to just have it as something out there and, you know, think that Christianity is about meeting a set of moral requirements and, you know, being in a certain place and, you know, going through certain rituals, that it's actually something we're invited to live in. And it's something that we're invited to continually engage in and to seek after and to come to know in a deeper way. And we'll find that as we do that, it starts to flow out of us in fresh ways and in ways that will actually be life to other people, those that are outside of the gospel. But our desire is more and more that we would see those outside of the gospel to come in.